Welcome back. It's 8 minutes past the hour. I'm Bill Meyer. This is the Faith Radio Network. My guest this half hour is Dr. Linda Mental. Linda is a licensed marriage and family therapist. She's a licensed clinical social worker and a national expert on relationships and on the psychology of food, weight, and body image. She has 30 years of clinical experience working with couples, families, and individuals, and brings her common sense approach to people who want to live in positive mental health. Linda currently serves as the chair of behavioral health at Liberty University's College of Osteopathic Medicine. You can hear Linda's show here on Faith Radio every Saturday morning at 10:30 Central and Sunday afternoon at 4:30 Central. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning. It's great to talk to you, Bill. Welcome.
Thank you. I feel like I know you since I've been following your show on Saturdays for the past year or so, and I got to tell you, I just love your laugh.
Well, we have a lot of fun on that show. We try to make it a little bit entertaining and then give some, hopefully some help and encouragement. And so for all those that are sad this morning, although in your listening area, there probably aren't too many sad people. I'm a huge Bears fan, and we're in the territory of a lot of Vikings fans there. So I really didn't care who won that game last night. But it was entertaining. It was entertaining. But I did feel sorry for Cam Newton because I don't think that was his best performance under a lot of pressure. But you got to give it to the Broncos with their huge defense. And they brought it home last night. So
yeah, I know.
Kudos to them.
Watching Cam's face on several of those sacks and then that one ball that he lost and couldn't get to it. Obviously a very frustrated young man. And, and yet, you know, great job for the Broncos and Peyton Manning. Who knows? Maybe he'll retire soon.
Yeah, well, we hope. We hope. We did. I had on my show, I had one of the sports physicians on talking about CTE, which is a condition that's very concerning for a lot of these NFL players. And it's only diagnosed at autopsy, but it has to do with repeated blows and concussions that these NFL players, you know, get. And Peyton has certainly had his share of blows and concussions and sacks. And after a while, you start thinking maybe it's time because you don't want to live the rest of your life with crippling, you know, illnesses and things that are going to really hurt you. So I do hope he retires. I hope he goes out with a bang here. He won second Super Bowl, and this would be a great time for him to leave.
Hmm. Okay, Linda, so for our Faith Radio listeners who have not heard your weekend show before, what can they expect when they tune in on Saturdays?
Well, it's all about relationships. Sometimes this week we did relationships with sports, and we talked about obsession, and are we just completely obsessed with sports, and are we over the edge? This weekend we're going to do regular relationships, intimate relationships, because it's Valentine's Day, and so we're going to talk about sizzling ways to bring romance to your weekend and get out of that dull movie, flowers, and dinner. Do some new things, some novel things, and just talk about some really fun things with Valentine's Day. But a lot of times we'll cover a lot of issues in relationships, kind of what we're doing today, where we're talking about conflict, which is a big deal in everybody's relationship. Conflict's normal, and it's a part of every relationship. One of the things that I have found is that a lot of times we just don't know how to deal with conflict very well, which is why we tend to avoid it rather than deal with it the way we need to deal with it. So we hit all kinds of subjects. We hit our relationship with food at times. We did a show, a real fun show, on 10 dieting mistakes and how to avoid those. So we do relationship with food, relationship with God, relationship with others, and obviously intimate relationships are a big focus.
How did you happen to get involved in working with clients who have weight or body image problems?
Well, I was working in a psychiatric hospital for a number of years, and we had a lot of different patients that would come onto the unit, and we started to see, this was years ago, when people weren't very familiar with anorexia and bulimia and those binge eating disorder and the food disorders that we see so prevalent today. And as I was working on an inpatient unit, we just had a lot of patients coming in with food problems. And particularly, not that obesity is a mental health issue, it's not. It's a physical state. And some would argue it's a disease. There's a big controversy about that. But as I was working more and more with those eating disorders and obesity, and I started to get very involved in helping patients deal with all the psychological issues around that, emotional eating, I started to develop a program for the inpatient unit, and it just kind of took off. And then we expanded into a lot of the obesity and childhood obesity issues at the last medical school I was at, we were very involved in trying to prevent childhood obesity in the community. It's such a huge problem, and it's very sad when we see young children developing type 2 diabetes at an early age. And we've had a couple of kids that were like 3 and 4 years old that were pre-hypertensive because of the obesity that they were developing. So a lot of prevention, hopefully, that we're focusing on to try to get America a little bit more healthy. And, you know, we're making some gains. Unfortunately, the data says that we're kind of flatlining on making taking a big bite out of the childhood obesity. But we're trying to, you know, continue to work with people and get families educated on, you know, you feed your kids and you need to get them active and you need to deal with emotional issues without going to food. And there's just a lot. It's complex, but we can make some dents in that if we really give it some attention.
I remember seeing a Dr. Phil show a while back, and it was on obese parents with obese kids. And it was striking to me. You would see these very large, and for the most part, it was moms with their little 3, 4, 5 year old child who, you know, already were significantly obese, heading down the road towards diabetes, and as you said, high blood pressure and other issues. And so much of the childhood obesity can be prevented if moms and dads will just be proactive, even if they do have a weight issue. And of course, there can be, as you well know, you can go too far the other direction by right. making food such a central issue that then your child reacts in the opposite way. So what's a good balanced approach for moms and dads? Let's say they have a child who has a tendency to overeat or loves sugary foods. What's a great way to talk about it in a healthy way so that it doesn't end up backfiring for the parent and that the child doesn't end up then going to food for comfort?
Yeah, that's such an important question, and I actually wrote a book called Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World a few years ago, and I actually dealt with that particular question in one of the chapters where I talked about you don't want to start talking to kids about dieting and focusing on deprivation and you can't have this and taking away things. What you want to do is talk about building a healthy body, building strong bones. So you talk to kids about their strength and their ability to, you know, participate in activities and to be healthy and focus the conversation that way. So it's a little bit more all-encompassing rather than on what you look like and what you weigh. Because when you do that, it does focus that attention. It starts to get kids a little bit obsessional with, focusing on eating. And we know that when we start talking about what you can't have in any kind of weight loss situation, it's the old saying is what you resist will persist. Because the more you think I can't have that, the more you actually want that. So to, you know, take away all their sugary snacks and just, you know, say you're not going to have that, you're not going to have that. The better approach is just don't buy the stuff. Just buy a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables and cut them up in all kinds of fun ways. And I've got all kinds of, practical tips on how to do that. I've got chapters on presenting food to kids in a really good way. And the more you present kids with healthy foods, the interesting thing is they do begin to like them and they do grow to have a taste for them. But the thing that happens to a lot of parents is they try some vegetables and, things that kids aren't so keen on, and then the kid doesn't like it and they just give up on it. But we know from the research that if you present something at least 20 times, the child will eventually start to eat it. So you have to be the one who buys the food, you know, prepares the meals, and think about what you're doing. And in our busy age, it's just so easy to run into fast food places and grab something on the fly and not really think about, hey, part of what I'm doing in terms of holistically for my child, I want to prepare them spiritually, I want to prepare them emotionally, I want to prepare them academically, but I need to prepare their bodies so that they're functioning at a really good place as well. And so that's the part. I say to parents all the time, hey, a 2-year-old can't walk into McDonald's and order fries. You know, only you can. So we're in charge of the diet, at least at the early parts of their lives. And if we set the stage right, hopefully we can ingrain some habits and get their bodies healthy and strong.
Well, we have 3 kids in our house who like broccoli, so hopefully that will make you proud.
That's great. Yeah, I mean, that can be an acquired taste for a lot of kids. A lot of kids won't eat something like asparagus until they're a little bit older, but eventually they acquire those tastes if you just keep presenting them at the meals.
The one thing we stay away from is, you know, it's interesting. At my My wife, a couple of years ago, we were having a Brussels sprouts discussion, and she told me when she was a little girl, she and her siblings referred to Brussels sprouts as Frankenstein heads. And I thought about it. They do look like little Frankenstein heads.
But the smell is what I can't take. I have memories of that.
We did try some of those little baby ones with a little garlic saute, and actually they were pretty good.
If you grill them and you do that in the oven, apparently they're better. But I remember my very German grandmother boiling those things on the stove, and you'd walk into the house and it would be like, okay. That's not a good pairing for my memory here.
Linda, come in and have some nice Brussels sprouts.
No thanks, Grandma.
And Linda, you write a regular column for BeliefNet. Recently, you wrote one called Conflict: Who Should Make the First Move? Can you briefly just share a little bit of your advice on the best way to deal with relational conflict?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Like I said, conflict is normal and natural in any relationship. But when you're hurt or you're upset by something somebody does, a lot of times we want to just avoid it. We try to just go, okay, I'm just going to let that go, and then maybe that doesn't work. Or we're going to, you know, try to wait until that person comes to us because, after all, right, we're on the bad end of the deal. And so we take this position of, hey, I've been offended, I've been hurt, you've treated me poorly, you know, you need to come to me. And one of the reasons, though, that we avoid conflict is that it initially, by avoiding, it does reduce stress. So I know that with people. But we need to remember the research that even though we initially reduce our stress by avoiding, the stress comes back with a vengeance after about a day or two. And then you're holding on to things that are kind of simmering below the surface, tends to make us more irritable. It does physical damage to the body when we hold on to stress. There's a lot of physical stuff that happens because you're revved up, the cortisol, the stress hormones are kind of pumping through the body. And, you know, that doesn't do anything to resolve the conflict. So what do we have? We have scripture that says to us in Matthew 18, if you've been hurt by somebody or offended or you've got a problem with somebody, scripture doesn't say wait for them to come to you. Scripture says go to the person. And a lot of times what I find in dealing with all kinds of conflict, whether it's family conflict or work coworker conflict or just conflict in general, is that people just kind of sit back and go, you know what? It's their problem. They need to come to me. Yet it affects us. It affects the person that's in the conflict. So my thing is, you know, only children fight about who goes first, right? That's what you see with kids.
That's right.
They're on the playground. They're fighting about who's going to go first. Let's be grown-ups here, and let's decide that, okay, we have a problem here. Matthew 18 is really clear. If I have a problem, I want to be a peacemaker, then I have to do something. I'm not going to wait for that person to come to me. I'm actually going to go to that person, and I'm going to make the first move. So I think that's really, really important with conflict to have that step always, that I'm not going to wait. I'm going to go.
Great biblical perspective there, Linda. You can find the entire article on BeliefNet. And Linda, your website for folks that want to find out more about you and your books?
It's just my name, drlindamental.com. And that information that I was talking about, I'm just going to promote my book, We Need to Talk, because I love that book because it's all about how to deal with conflict. And that's one of the minute points in a whole bunch of stuff that's research-driven but biblically based. And how do you deal with conflict in a way that's healthy, that grows your relationships, that deepens your intimacy, and moves the relationship forward? So important in our world today.
Boy, it's great. And I'm so glad you're tackling this very important topic right now in our culture. Linda Mental, you can hear her Saturdays and Sundays here on the Faith Radio Network. Thanks so much, Linda, for your time this morning.
Hey, it's great to talk to you, Bill. Take care.
Take care. 25 minutes past the hour. This is the Faith Radio Network.